This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
He is risen. Cross is empty and the tomb is empty. He is risen. Some people call it the Easter weekend. And what we heard just now as well, it's not about eggs, it's not about bunnies. But it's about what Jesus Christ has done for us as part of God's plan, that He wants to be in a relationship with us forever and ever. Let's pray. Father, You're God. And we could sing it just now. We want to bow down before You. We only can have one King, and You will want You to be King in our lives. There are not other things which are distracting us, but that we just focus on You, Lord, because You've got eternal value. The other things which keeps our heads busy is only for a period and then it's gone. But to have a relationship with You, Father, is forever and ever. And what happened this weekend, what we are being reminded of again, is for what Jesus has done for us at the cross, that we can be free and that we can have eternal life with You. Thank You, Father, that as what we're going to listen this afternoon to that message, that there's nothing going to be distracting us, that we can bind it in the name of Jesus Christ, that our minds will be open to receive what the Holy Spirit wants to share with us this afternoon. Thank You, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. It's happening many times that we see a top of a heading, and then the heading is getting our attention, and then we've got to decide, what are we going to do? Are we going to read a little bit more about it, or are we going to leave it just like it is? It is happening with the newspaper, it's sometimes happening with the message which you get via the internet, and then we've got to decide, yeah, are we going to get more information or not? Now, the heading what we've got this afternoon, what God is giving to us is, He is risen. Now, if you say you do not want to know more about it, the door is still open, but please be remain seated because I would like to share with you this afternoon what God wants to tell us, how important it is, because the whole story before it and the whole story behind it, that we can read up and that we can understand where it is all about, because it's about a relationship, what God wants to have with His creation, and it's part of God's plan. This weekend started with Good Friday, where Jesus died at the cross for us, for our sins, so that we do not have to be punished for our sins. And that's why the cross is empty. And then today, this morning, it was celebrated, as what Albert also shared with us, early this morning already, in the middle of Utrecht, where people were coming together and singing and being excited about it. The tomb is also empty. Jesus was raised from the dead. And He conquered death over there. I'm going to take you to part of Matthew 27 and Matthew 28 to see the story around it, around that He is risen. And I'm going to start with Matthew 27 from verse 50 to 53. This is where Jesus was at the cross. And Jesus cried out with a loud voice and yielded His spirit. This is where He died. And then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from the bottom, from top to bottom. And the earth quaked, and the rocks were split. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the graves after His resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. That Jesus died on a cross, something happened over there. The veil was torn. The veil is, the Holy of Holies was something like 18 meters by 18 meters by 18 meters, which means that curtain was 18 meters high. The thickness of it was more or less the size of a hand, maybe a little bit smaller than my hand, but the size of the hand, that was the thickness. And at that time, it was torn. The separation what God had with His creation was broken over there. He wanted to have a relationship, an open relationship with each and every one. The veil was torn, and there was an earthquake. We don't know if it just was local, but something happened. Something beautiful happened over there. The graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints, which means believers, who had fallen asleep, were raised. They rose. They came out of the grave. So it's not just a small thing which happened, but something big happened over there. And then the rocks were split. And I had a look at it and I thought, but what is actually meaning the rocks were split? Is there something supernatural happening over there? Or what is happening there? And I thought about it and I prayed about it, and then the only thing what I could find out what more or less correlates with it is that the Jews were hard-headed. They had a very, very hard head. And God can split a rock, and if he can split a rock, then he can split the heads of the Jews as well, that they also can understand that this Jesus is also for them. And then it carries on with Matthew 27, verses 54. So when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, "Truly, this was the Son of God." An unbeliever is making that remark, "Truly, this was the Son of God." But it's in their head. But within their heart, nothing changed. They've seen it. They said it, but nothing changed in their heart. They still remained a distance from God. They were not included into God's family. And then Matthew 27 carries on. Jesus was buried in Joseph's tomb. He borrowed it from Joseph just for a weekend, that's all. And then he gave it back again to Joseph. But there were two over there who were sitting over there at the tomb, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. They were sitting opposite the tomb. But the Jewish people, they didn't trust it, because Jesus has been saying, on the third day, I will rise. Now what's going to happen? So what they said, we're going to ask for a guard, that we can put a guard there, and that we can make 100% sure about it. Because if it is really going to happen that he's going to rise, then that deception is even going to be greater than the first. And they got permission. And they got a guard over there. They made the tomb secure. But somehow they made it secure. They sealed the stone and they set a guard. Just to make 100% sure that this Jesus is not coming out of their tomb. Because then they've got a problem. And that's where Matthew 27 ends. But then the beautiful thing is Matthew 28 starts. And it starts now on this after the Sabbath. After the first day of the week began, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. We've seen they were there when Jesus was put in the tomb, and they were again there. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. Again, an earthquake. With the death of Jesus Christ and with the resurrection of Jesus Christ, an earthquake again. And we are going to see earthquakes when Jesus is going to come back again. And if you take a look at statistics, each and every time there are more earthquakes. Yes, they say, but they are recording more earthquakes. Earthquakes are happening, and earthquakes are going to happen, and we've got to be ready for it, that we're going to see earthquakes. But there's something else what we can note over here. An angel of the Lord descended from heaven. With the crucifixion, there was no angel. There were angels with the birth of Jesus. There were angels with Jesus who comforted him when he was tested by the enemy in the desert. They were also there when he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. But there were no angels at the cross. He was on his own,
Jesus also said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, Lord, why have you forsaken me? He didn't experience the presence of God over there. And then it carries on in verse 3, Matthew 28, verse 3. His countenance was like lightning, this is now the angel, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook fear of him and became like dead men. Imagine those guards standing in front of a tomb. Boring job. The guy's dead. He's in a tomb. Now you've got to stand in front of it and you've got to, what are you waiting for? But this is the instruction what they got. And when they saw the angel, they were afraid. And the angel answered and said to the woman, to the two Marys, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He is risen. As he said, come, see the place where the Lord laid. He is risen is one Greek word, ikiro. And ikiro means that it's awaken. Awaken. Lift up. Raised up. Stand. Take up. It's all included in that rise. Standing up. But then the angel is giving an instruction to the two Marys. And go quickly and tell the disciples that he is risen from dead. And that indeed he is going before you into Galilee. And there you will see him. Behold, I have told you. They were instructed to bring that message. He is risen, to bring it to the disciples. It's a beautiful message. I think it was the best news what you actually can give to somebody else. That you can say, go and tell them. He's risen. What he has promised is happening now. Confirmed again that God has got a plan. And each and every time when he promises something, he's doing it. The Old Testament is full of promises about Jesus, the Savior who is going to come. And now it's happening. Jesus died. Jesus was resurrected. And then it was that the Marys went. So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring the disciples' word. They were obedient. But can we see the two words which are in that obedience? Fear and joy. If we want to be obedient as well to God, we've got to have fear, which means we respect him as the creator of heaven and earth. But we also must have a joy. A joy when we bring that message to other people. And this is what the two Marys had. They had fear and joy. They were obedient. Verse 9. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them and said, rejoice. So they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. And then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. And rejoice is also a beautiful word. Some of the older translations you will read, all hail. It was a greeting, a way of greeting another person. Peace be with you. Rejoice. Now we've got the two parties. We've got Jesus. We've got Maria, the two Marys. But we also have got the centurion with his guards. Listen what happened over there. Now while they were going, behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priest all the things that had happened. And when they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, tell them, his disciples came at night and stole him away while he was asleep. And if this comes to the governor's ear, we will appease him and make you secure. So they took the money and did as what they were instructed. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jewish until today. The leaders, the spiritual leaders of a nation, were instructing other people to lie to protect themselves. That's what's happening over here. Bribery first class. You can also call it advertisement, because they were paid for bringing a message. And it's actually so frightening that things like that can happen, that people so close to God or so far away, that they pay other people money, a large sum of money, that they're going to lie. Because the centurion knew that if this was coming to the Roman, to the Romans, whatever it is, who's above him, and he had a certain instruction, and he failed with his instruction, he would have been one head shorter. He would have been killed. But now they are saved. They're not being killed, but they've got to distribute that lie. They've got to spread around that lie that Jesus has been stolen by his disciples. Because the message of he is risen didn't suit these chief priests. And then the 11 disciples, they did exactly what Jesus has asked them to do. We can read it in verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed them. And when he saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. There were still of those disciples who've been walking for three years with Jesus. They slept, they did everything together. After 3 years, still doubting. They could see the Jesus. They could see the marks in his hands and his feet. And they were still doubting. They still were not 100% sure. Jesus is calling them to a mountain. God called Moses to the mountain and gave him the law. Jesus is calling his disciples to the mountain and giving them the Great Commission. And the reaction over there is that they worshipped him. They saw Jesus. And then Jesus came and spoke to them and said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." That message, what they heard from the Marys, Jesus is risen. He is risen. Jesus is telling them now, go. Go and tell it. Go and tell it all over the world, to all places. This is the most important thing. When we read a book or when we watch a movie, the most important thing, the message, is not directly at the beginning. If it is like that, then it's a bad movie or it's a bad book. It's normally always at the end. It builds up. And here we can see it as well with Matthew 27 and 28 of what happened over there. Jesus died for our sins. He was resurrected again. And then he comes with that instruction, this message of he is risen. Bring it. Bring it all over the world. Each and everyone must hear it. Each and everyone must hear about this awesome message. When you watch news, they always give you the headlines in the beginning. Then they tell you the different stories, and then they've got the headlines again at the end. They summarize it. Now I'm going to do exactly the same because, like I said, this is now the heading what we've got today where we're talking about he is risen. The first point what I want to mention is he is risen. This is so crucial in the gospel. Paul is saying it beautifully in 1 Corinthians 15, in 14 to 17. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty. As easy as that. If we do not believe that Christ is risen, then the whole gospel doesn't mean anything. If Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he has raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up. If in fact the dead did not rise. For if the dead did not rise, then Christ is also not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. And you are still in your sins. We're still having that sin then on us if Christ is not risen. But Jesus died for our sins so that we haven't got the sins on us anymore. The second point is, He is risen. Has got to be our testimony. It has got to be on our lives. We've got to live it out. We've got to tell it to other people, but we also have got to share it to other people. We could hear the centurion. The centurion said, truly, this was the Son of God. But we should hear a message which is coming out of a heart of a person, not out of his head, that we can hear from Peter when he was saying to Jesus, when Jesus asked him, but who do you say I am? And then Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed that to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail it. Jesus is telling us today that the confessions of believers that He is risen, on those confessions, He's building His church. Because of this scripture, you can basically have a look and say there are three different ways of having a look at it. The first of all is to say is that Jesus says, on this rock, and then He's referring to Himself. But we know that Jesus is the cornerstone of the church. Some people also say, but Peter is the rock, because his name also means rock, and that Jesus will build the church on him, on that specific or that single person. The Catholics even go further than that. They say that the popes are successors from that Peter. But the one where I feel where it is going about is that the church is built on that confession of Peter, what Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Because on those testimonies, you can build a church. And if we are giving that testimony, it has got to be in our heart as well. We must know what it means. It must be included. When we've got to explain a mathematics sum to somebody else, we must understand it ourselves. Because how are you going to explain it to someone if you do not understand it? In the Netherlands over here, if you want to teach someone else to drive a bicycle, you better first drive a bicycle before you're going to teach somebody else. If you're a little bit more lucky and you can drive a car, exactly the same. Much better that you first drive a car yourself with the clutch and the petrol and the brakes before you're going to teach somebody else, because that could be going the wrong way. And we have to testify. Romans 10 verses 9 is telling us, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. That's the truth. That's what's the message what we've got to share. On Tuesday evening with the intercession, it came out. We've got to be bringing the right message, the truth. Not a lie, is what the high priest were telling those guardians to spread. But we've got to bring the truth, what we can substantiate of what is written in God's word, but what we also can experience in our lives. The third point, what I want to focus on is that if we're going to bring that message, we don't have to do it in our own powers. God is giving us the power of the Holy Spirit to do that. The same week, on Monday, with Bible school, we were talking about the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? And the purpose of the Holy Spirit. And the purpose of the Holy Spirit is that we are getting the power that we can be a witness in this world for Jesus Christ. And God wants to give us that Holy Spirit. That power, Romans 8 verses 11. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. That power from God, which we cannot understand because it's so great, He wants to give it to us that we can use it. The power of the Holy Spirit is available to us. It dwells in us. It is available to us. So the 3 points, he's risen. He's risen has got to be our testimony, but we don't have to do it ourselves. God is giving us the Holy Spirit to help us over here. We as church have got an urgency to know Christ, but also to make him known. And that's for all the people in Utrecht. This is where God has placed us, that we can share the gospel to the people in Utrecht. This coming Friday evening, we're also going to do it again with the Holy Spirit night. We're going to come and we're going to see God's face. We're going to listen what he wants to share with us. How can we reach other people? Because there's a little bit of a hidden agenda. The next time what we're getting together, we add a Saturday to it as well. And in the Saturday morning, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We're also going to talk about it, that you're going to make your own testimony, that you're going to say and write it down, that you also can testify it. My life before I came to know Christ, how I came to know Christ, and my life after I came to know Christ. Because it's crucial that we can testify what happened with us when we started a relationship with God, and that we can share it with other people. Because it's the instruction what we've got. The purpose of the risen Christ is to empower his church to make his authority known in every culture on earth. This what happened this weekend is the message what we can bring to other people, to build churches, and that more and more people are going to be aware of it, of what Jesus has done for us. It's not just a weekend that we can just tick and say, okay, it's gone again. This is the most crucial weekend of the whole gospel. Because if Christ is not risen, then it doesn't mean anything. Matthew 28, verse 6, this is what I want to finish off today. He's not there, for he is risen. Christ is risen, as he said. He mentioned it before. Even the Jewish people were hearing it. They made provision to make sure that he was not going to rise. But if God has got a plan, no one can stop him. He will do what he has planned. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. He is risen. Let's pray. Father, what a beautiful message would you giving us today, Father, that Jesus is risen. He conquered death so that we can have life, eternal life with you forever and ever. And Father, that message is not just head knowledge, but it's something what we want to have with you, Father, in a heart-to-heart relationship, Father. That we, if we are going to testify about it, it's not coming out of our head because we've read it or we heard it. It's coming out of our heart because it's a living relationship what we've got with a living God. And Father, I'm praying now that if there's anyone over here who hasn't got a living relationship with a living God, and you feel God is speaking to you today, the Holy Spirit is stirring you, and you want to make that decision because you've never made it publicly, and you want to make that decision today, this afternoon, that you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, as your Lord and Savior. You want to accept God as a King in your life. He is the Creator of heaven and earth, that you can call him Father, and you want to invite the Holy Spirit into your life as a helper, and you want to make that decision today. And you say, yes, Lord, I've never done it, but now today I want to be in that relationship. I don't want to have it in my head, but now I want to have it in my heart as well. If that's you, then I'm asking you to raise your hand that we can pray along with you. Thank you, Father, that you are a God who always speaks to us, who always wants to speak to us. But many times, our hearts are closed because you're not number one in our lives. We're thinking about something else. And Father, I want to pray for those who are here today and say, I heard about the Holy Spirit, but I know I'm quenching the Holy Spirit. I'm not allowing the Holy Spirit to speak in my life. I'm not spending enough time with God to hear his voice through the Holy Spirit. And if you're here today and you say, yes, I can associate with that, it's happening in my life, that I'm not allowing enough time and that I'm not listening to what the Holy Spirit is sharing with me, and I know I've got to change it. And as all eyes are closed, I'm asking you, raise your hand that we can pray together. Father, you've seen those hands, and I pray that there's going to be an urgency, as what we've been singing just now, that if we open up our eyes, that we can see you, that we can start the day like that, Father. And if we close our eyes at the end of the day, that we can finish off with a prayer and thank you. Father, you've seen the hearts of those hands which were raised. And I pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit is going to get more space inside. That as the person or persons are seeking you, Father, and they're looking for more and more time with you, that they can experience the Holy Spirit speaking to them and being involved in their lives. Thank you, Father, for your plan, that awesome plan which you've got with Jesus who died and rose again, and with the Holy Spirit as our helper. You're an awesome God. We glorify your name. We praise your name. We exalt your name. We worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.